This morning I entitled my message, Unsubscribe to On Demand. Unsubscribe to On Demand. In our life, we are so used to have things right away. There are even apps built to accommodate people's needs called On Demand. Are you with me? For time to time, I hear my wife say to me, Pavel, you have zero patience. Of course, I tend to disagree with that. However, I wish patience was on demand. On-demand apps are projected to exceed $335 billion in the revenue by 2025, or by the end of this year, probably will be even more. They connect users with services like food, transportation, beauty, even beauty. Can you imagine that? And healthcare in real time. Popular categories include food and groceries like Uber Eats, DoorDash, Instant Cards, transportation like Uber and Lyft, healthcare, Teladoc, Doctor on Demand, or health.com. And I'm not here to promote them. They're not paying me for this, okay? I'm just telling you the statistics. Beauty and wellness, style seat, glam squad, travel and entertainment like Airbnb, Netflix, Booking.com. These platforms offer one purpose, convenience and speed. Convenience and speed. If you have been walking with the Lord for a while, you might know by now that God does not operate on demand. In the words of Pastor Tim Williams, who is one of the professors here at Summit, I remember even when I was a student, he always reminded us on the importance of waiting on the Lord. Not because God is slow or always late, but because God has his own perfect timing. His timing is perfect, and he shows up right on time. Pastor Tim will say this way, waiting time is not wasted time. Students that are here, do you remember that? Can you help me out? Waiting time is not wasted time. And I think this sums up very well our journey with the Lord. Throughout history, God delivered and defended his people. If we look closely, even every story has something in common from the Word of God and our lives. Leaders and the congregation always were required to wait on the Lord. Every story almost you read in the Word of God, it highlights, wait on the Lord. Seeking the Lord's direction and guidance on the things they were facing in their life. At times, they were in the middle of war. And God would tell them, wait for a word and direction. You would think, God, we need you right now to give us deliverance. We need you right now to show up. But God would require the people, you wait on me. And you seek directions from my life. The key for success in their lives was dependent on their obedience to the Lord and waiting on God's direction in their life. At the same time, throughout history, there were people that struggled with waiting on the Lord, and they acted on their own because they were living a life on demand. For example, if we can open the Word of God to Exodus chapter 32, when Moses, on the Mount Sinai, waiting on the Lord while people thought it took way too long and demanded Aaron to lead them and building a golden calf. If you can open up again to Exodus chapter 32, verse 1. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, up, meaning like right now, up. Are you sleeping or you're laying? Whatever you're doing, Aaron, get over here right now. Make us a gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has happened to him. In that time, the leaders would seek the face of God on behalf of people. And because their impatience was towards God, it also reflected of their impatience towards the people. And at that moment, the people began to complain, and they said, we don't want to wait. I don't know what happened with Moses. And maybe some of them were glad that Moses never came down from that mountain of Sinai. Maybe some of them were happy because they were blaming Moses for a lot of things in their life, because he, through the mighty hand of God, brought them out of the land of Egypt. And now they turn to Aaron and says, well, Moses is lost. We're going to have our own ideas of who we want to serve and how we want to go about our life. Later on, this attitude stayed in the nation of Israel. It never went away. It came a time when the people of Israel wanted to operate like the surrounding nations and demanded a king. Before, they were just operating with the leaders, with prophets, and leaders that God has empowered them to lead them and follow the voice of God and fall in love with the Lord, obey his commandments. But it came a time, he says, no, we're looking at our enemies, at the people around us, the nations around us, and they have a system and they have everything on demand. And we are kind of sick and tired of serving somebody and listening to somebody that is so far off. We want somebody that we can see. We want somebody that can answer our desires and our cry. And in a sense, they rejected God as their king and chose Saul to be their earthly king. Can it be because they wanted to have something immediate and not having to wait? Can that be? Now, the journey of Saul, it started very well. It's not like Saul was seeking to be chosen the next or the first king of Israel. But it was a moment when the people cried out, we want a king, and they demanded that it was that way. And his journey started very well, but also he went off the rails very quickly. In 1 Samuel chapter 8, Israel demands a king. In 1 Samuel chapter 9, Saul is chosen to be the king. In chapter 10, Saul anointed as king. And in verse 25 says this, then Samuel told the people the right and duties of the kingship. And he wrote them in the book and laid them up before the Lord. Then Samuel sent all the people away, each one to his home. Verse 26. Saul also went to his home at Gibeah, and with him went men of valor whose hearts God has touched. Verse 27. But some worthless followers said, how can this man save us? And they despised him and brought him no presents. But he, meaning Saul, held his peace. This is the beginning of his kingship. He started well, because later on we learned that Saul very much loved and enjoyed the applause of people. He flourished on the applause of people. But here he says that there were people that brought him gifts and their hearts were touched and they were serving Saul and they went with him. But also there was another group of people that says, not a chance. We're not going to serve you. Our hearts are not with you. And not only that, but they despised Saul. Do you have people that come to your mind right now that you despise? Do you have people that you think that they despise you? If you do, then pray for them. But over here it says that they despised Saul. But that did not bother in that moment his heart. He started very well. Later, he cared more about what people thought of him rather than God. Isn't it amazing that when we start a journey with the Lord, sometimes our hearts are so open to do everything what he desires for us to do. But throughout the journey, we enjoy the applause of people. We enjoy when everybody says how wonderful we are. But in our Christian walk, one of the most important things that we should be confident in, to know if God is saying, well done. is God saying, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful in little. Now I'm gonna entrust into your hands much. Let this be the words that we hear this morning from the Holy Spirit about our lives. And if we don't, let us examine our lives to say, God, deliver me from the applause of people. We all are guilty of that. Don't think that we're like separate and we're like angels. We are exempt from that. We're all dealing with that. Pastors, leaders, elders, ministry leaders, all of us believers, we all deal with insecurities at times. But let our insecurities not lead us to feed from people. But let us insecurities drive us to the Lord in the presence of the Lord and say, God, I'm so tempted right now to receive the applause of people. But let me hear your applause. Let me hear your words. Saul started very well, but very soon he began to enjoy the applause of people more than approval of God. He was consumed with jealousy, unwillingness to wait, to do things God's way. And as a result, ultimately, he led him to his own destruction. In 1 Samuel chapter 11, Saul with the people fought against the enemy and they prevailed over the enemy. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, Samuel's farewell words or address to people. He says in verse 1, behold, I have obeyed your voice in all that you have said to me and have made a king over you. In different words, he's saying to the people, whatever word you wanted, I obeyed you. And I gave you what you desired, and here is your king. I'm about to pass on, but here are the things that you are to follow. And Saul is your king. Now, if you can open up with me, 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 1 and down. And we're going to be talking a lot about this passage. First Samuel chapter 13, verse 1 and down says this. Saul lived for 1 year and then became king. And when he had reigned for 2 years over Israel, Saul chose 3,000 men of Israel. 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and the hill country of Bethel. And 1,000 were with Jonathan. Jonathan was his son in Gibeah of Benjamin. The rest of the people he sent home, every man to his tent. Verse 3. Jonathan defeated. Who defeated? Who defeated? We have to remember that name, okay? Jonathan defeated the garrison of the Philistines that was in Geba. And the Philistines heard of it. And Saul blew the trumpet. Who blew the trumpet? One more time with confidence. Who blew the trumpet?
Saul
blew the trumpet. And we're going to read what was he saying. Throughout all the land, saying, let the Hebrews hear, and all the Israel hear, it said that Saul had defeated the garrison of the Philistines. Let's go back a little bit. Who defeated the enemy? But Saul now is letting people know. And who is he saying defeated the enemy? Himself. One of the first things, a chapter before, there is a battle. The people are scared of the things what the enemy has said. The enemy has come to them and says, listen, if you want to meet a treaty and a peace with us, we would like to gouge your right eye of all of the people. And this is how we're going to know that you're going to make peace with us. And people begin to cry and weep. And Saul comes and says, why are people weeping? And the people are saying, well, because the enemy has come to us and they want to make they want to make treaty with us, and we want to make treaty with them for them not to attack us. But there is one condition. They want our right eye to be gouged. And at that moment, Saul goes to war against the enemy, and he wins. And he gives glory to the Lord. You see, God began to move Saul and to empower him to have the upper hand over the enemy. And sometimes, let me add this, that our enemies wants to come to us. for us to make treaty with him. And one condition, just give your vision, give your sight away. Whatever what God has given you, whatever what the Lord is leading you in, I want to steal your sight. I want to blind you to the things of the Lord. But the Lord has called us to have the upper hand over the plans of the enemy. And Saul, he knew that God is with him and God would give him victory. But jealousy and comparing himself to another person already is creeping in the very next chapter, the very next battle. And out of all people, his son, Jonathan, has took out the enemy. And next thing you know, he takes the opportunity, he takes the moment to put the trumpet to his mouth and let everybody know, I have defeated the enemy. Saul, that was not you. That was your son, Jonathan. You did not do that. It was somebody else. Why are you taking somebody else's victory and somebody else's glory? Because he loved the praises of man. Because he loved what man would think about him. And maybe he thought man would think that I'm a failure, that I can't do this. And jealousy, comparing himself to other people. And it crept in his heart to the point that he touched again this thing, pride. And he said, it sounded an alarm to everyone that I have defeated the Philistines. And also that Israel had become estranged to the Philistines. And the people were called out to join Saul at Gilgal. Verse 5. And the Philistines mustered to fight with Israel 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen and troops like the sand on the seashore as it's multiplied. They came up and encamped in the Mishad to the east of Bathsheba. When the men of Israel saw that they were in trouble, for the people were hard pressed. The people hid themselves in caves and in holes and in rocks and in tombs and in cisterns. Verse 7. And some Hebrews crossed for the fords of the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilgal. Saul was still at Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. Verse 8. He waited 7 days. And I want to stop here for a moment and read to you something that in chapter 10, verse 8, Samuel is telling him, you should wait for me and I will come and bring the sacrifices and I will give you directions from the Lord because you're not qualified as king to do that. Only prophets and only certain people were qualified to do the things that Saul is about to do. And here in verse 8, it says this. He waited 7 days, the time appointed by Samuel, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattering from him. Let's stop here for a moment. It was not the 8th day. It was the 7th day. And even though he makes up a story that Samuel did not show up on the 7th day, it was still the 7th day. And he proceeded to do things on his own. And there is one or a few words over here that changes this perspective. And I believe that it changed the way he began to operate. And when I was reading the scripture, this spoke to me so much. Again, he says, because the people were scattering from him. And he panicked. Oh my gosh, people don't like me anymore. People are not going to be around me anymore. I'm going to lose this battle. They were supposed to be around me right now. We're facing the enemy. And because people began to leave him, he panicked. And he says, well, the prophet is not here, and I'm going to act on my own to hold the people dear to me. How often in our life we operate instead of waiting because we're afraid that we're not going to please people. The moment somebody leaves us alone, we want to do different tricks just to keep a crowd around us, just for our numbers to go a little bit higher. What do we do when people leave us? Do we walk in obedience still to the Lord and wait? Or we freak out and we start seeking systems? we're starting to build connections and networking and posting how great we are. What do we do in those moments when the Lord is speaking to us and says, you wait till my timing? But we want the timing to be right now. And we start operating on our own flesh. And it's a little bit of our own pride. How great Pavel is. When the only great thing about us is Jesus Christ. And if we don't die to ourselves and to the idea of what we can do and impress God and others, we will go through journeys and God will take us through journeys in our life till we die to ourselves and to our ideas of who we are without Christ and pick up his cross and follow him. And you see, Saul, he failed right away in this. In the beginning when he was appointed, even when he had people that despised him, he can care less. He went with the people that said, we're going to serve you. But the very next few chapters, all of a sudden, pride, discontentment, pleasing people, rather pleasing God, got a hold of him. And one of the most important things in a believer's life is to wait on the Lord, and he missed that. Because God does everything in his own timing. Not our own time, but in his timing. And the Bible says over here that the moment people began to leave him, he panicked. And he acted and he did things that he was not allowed to do. He was forbidden for a king to bring sacrifices in the way he did. And let's continue reading. Let's read again chapter 13, verse 8. He waited 7 days. The time appointed by Samuel, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal. And the people were scattering from him, meaning from Saul. So Saul said, bring the burnt offering here to me and the peace offering. And he offered the burnt offering as soon as he had finished. Isn't it amazing? Sometimes we act on the things and as soon as we're done doing something dumb or something that we were not supposed to do, God shows up and says, what did you do? Couldn't you wait for a few more minutes? As soon as he finished offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him and greeted him. Samuel said, what have you done? And Saul said, when I saw that the people were scattering from me, and that you did not come within the days appointed. He's lying. The days that were appointed were 7 days, and the 7th day was not over yet. The real issue was that people were leaving him. That was the real issue. And he's telling half-truth, because the people were leaving me and I began to act because I panicked. Obedience is worth more than having a crowd. And he missed that. And he's saying, from the days they were appointed and that the Philistines had mustered at Michmash, I said, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not sought the favor of the Lord. Yes, you have sought the favor of the Lord. The favor of the Lord is in the obedience. It's not in works. It's not in acting. It's not in impressing. It's in the obedience of waiting on the Lord. God says, I don't need your arms. I don't need your swords to win a battle. I need an obedient heart. I need a person that is willing to wait. I need a person that I can tell them a word and they will be moved because I spoke, not because of their disobedience. So I forced myself. You see, sometimes when we act on our own, so we can keep crowds around us, we force ourselves to do things that usually we would not do. Another translation says, he felt compelled. Or I should put this way, the flesh compelled him to act on the things that was prohibited for him to do. And my brothers, my sisters, one of the things that is prohibited for us is to touch God's glory. To think that we are something more without God than what he says we are. To lord over people. and to entertain people for the sake of a crowd. Oh, my brother, my sister, till we learn these lessons, till I learn these lessons, we will go through journeys in our life that God will teach us. And maybe He's speaking to us now. Wait for me. Don't force yourself to act. Don't force yourself to post. Don't force yourself to say how great you are. Don't do all of those things. But wait upon me till I elevate you. Till I will call you and you will know, because my voice is not mixed with the voices of the world. My voice is clear and you will follow me, because my sheep know my voice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But he forced himself and offered them burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, "You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandments of the Lord your God, with which he commanded you. For then the Lord would have established your kingdom." Who would establish a kingdom? One more time. Who? The Lord. He says, in your foolishness, you thought you can establish your own kingdom. You can act out of your own desires, out of your own shortcomings, and force yourself to do things that you are not called to do for the sake of pleasing people and keeping crowds. He says, if you only would obey the Lord, it will come a day that the Lord will establish your kingdom over Israel forever. But now, your kingdom shall not continue. What a harsh word. What a sobering words. In different words, Saul, you had every opportunity for God to lift you up. But because people were leaving you and you panicked and you became the pleaser of people, not of God, God is going to remove your position. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be prince over his people, because you have not kept the Lord's commandments. Verse 15, and Samuel arose and went up from Gilgal. What a sad picture. Just imagine this. Saul, he feels like a failure. Samuel comes and confronts him. And after the confrontation, there is no counseling session. He just gets up and leaves. And Samuel rose and went up from Gilgal. The rest of the people went up after Saul to meet the army. They went up from Gilgal to Gibeth of Benjamin. And this is the very next thing. Over here, read again. Saul did not learn his lesson, and Saul numbered the people who were present with him. Saul, didn't you just learn your lesson? The numbers were very important to him. He just got confronted because of that. His kingdom was removed because of that. And now the prophet gets up and leaves, confronting him, of saying, because you acted like that instead of trusting the Lord and waiting on the Lord's timing, you acted on your own. He leaves, and some people are leaving with the prophet. And now, Saul, instead of falling before the Lord in repentance, he turns around and starts counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I want to have a list who's with me and who turned against me. Saul, you started your ministry, you started your journey when people despised you. And in that moment, you can care less that they despise you. But now you care who's with you after the Lord came and confronted you through the prophet Samuel. My brother and my sister, it's so important when God speaks to us for us to react and not to continue in our own ways. As the worship team comes, and in my closing, Saul's unwillingness, or I should say, the inability to wait on the Lord, led him not to do things God's way. My brothers and my sisters, the inability in our lives to wait on the Lord and His direction will cause us to do things in our own way, not God's way. Yes, we still will be busy. Yes, we might have ministries. Yes, we might have crowds around, but we will be operating in the flesh. And as a result, it costed him his kingdom. Why? Because at the core, the desire to be liked by people more than God threw him down. At the core, the desire to be liked by people, to keep crowds in Saul's life was more important than to please God. And that's what brought him down. His inability to wait affected everything in his life. And not only that, but let me add, we don't have the time to go and read this, but it also costed his life. Not only his life, but his family's life. And the destruction not only came in his life and his family, but also in the nation of Israel. There was division, uproar, wars, and killings. Why? Because of one man that was called, and he forsook the waiting time. He forsook the Lord, and he cared about more the crowds. He cared about being liked by people instead of pleasing the Lord and following God. After everything he just went through, and the Lord rejected him. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 30, it says this. He represents for a second. He comes to a point and repents for a minute. He repents for a second. Then he says this key word, yet. Yet. After everything what I just read, in chapter 15, verse 30, it says this. I have sinned. And then it says yet to Samuel. Honor me now before the elders of my people and before Israel. Saul, after everything you just went through, he comes back to Samuel and says, honor me. Honor me. What about your relationship with the Lord? What about your waiting time with the Lord? What about you pleasing God? No. I care about people. I care about numbers. The insecurity, the pride, and he goes back to the very thing that he never dealt with in his life. Honor me before people, not before the Lord, but before people. And honor me before the elders, my brother, my sister. As Haley prayed this morning, search us, O God. Search my heart. Is there any wicked thing in me? You see, God's mercy and God's love, when He deals with us and brings things to the surface, is not to shame us, but to cleanse us. And it's not to send us away, but to embrace us. We don't become weaker, but we become stronger through Him when He does that. But when we care about the opinion of people, we will walk in hiding. We will walk in shame, and we will walk a life filled with secrets. But I'm so glad in my life, God has brought things to light, not to shame Him, put me away, but to cleanse me and to remind me that I am called by Him. And I believe, as students are here and as a congregation from this community, that God, when He deals with our hearts, He desires to cleanse us. If He did not care for us, He will leave us alone. But because He cares for us, He leaves the 99 and seeks for the one. And that one in that moment was Saul. But Saul never picked up on that. And he still continued in his deception. I have sinned, yet honor me before the elders and before the people of Israel. Oh, my brother, my sister, let our walk be sincere before the Lord and wait for His timing. Wait for the Lord. This morning, let us unsubscribe from on-demand mentality and learn to wait on the Lord. One of the things I hear people are unsubscribing from things, different apps, for one reason. You know why? Because it costs them too much. It costs them too much. And brother, my sister, if you're not gonna unsubscribe to this mentality, it will cost you. And this morning, my plea and my altar call is simple. Unsubscribe to the things of this world because it will cost you and potentially might cost you dearly. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is redemption. Hallelujah. Unsubscribe to the things of this world and subscribe to the Lord by waiting on Him. If you can open up with me to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 and down. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And the condition that the Word of God is giving to the people, they who wait on the Lord, hallelujah, they who wait on the Lord. And only if Saul would understand this, if I can wait on the Lord and seek His direction instead of freaking out when people are leaving me. Only if I can wait on the Lord and not freak out when I don't have enough likes. Only if I can wait on the Lord and not post things. Oh God Almighty, help me to be moved by your timing and not by my own flesh. Those who wait on the Lord shall, hallelujah, shall. But you can say, well, I wanna do things in my own, and I shall do things in my own. Good luck. But if you wait on the Lord, you shall do all of these things and prevail. Amen. Let's stand together. Psalm 40, verse 1 through 5 says this. And it's very, very unique that these words that I'm about to read are the words of the very next king that became a king after Saul. The Word of God says that God has chosen a king after my own heart. I have chosen a person. And that person was David. And these are the words of David, the very next king after Saul. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me up out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on the rock and gave me a firm place to stand. I love this one. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in Him. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud. Who was that man that was proudful? It was Saul. Maybe David learned from Saul. And he says, no, I'm going to wait on the Lord. To those who turn aside to the false gods. Many, Lord, my God, are the wonders you have done. The things you have planned for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, there would be too many to declare. All of these things because a man after God's own heart learned one thing. When I waited on the Lord, God began to do miraculous things. When I waited on the Lord, even when I failed, even when I fell down, even when I sinned, I ran back to Him because I've learned to wait on Him. David had every opportunity to act, and for a moment he did act that led him to murder somebody when he stole somebody's wife. when he committed adultery and he wanted to cover his tracks. He tried for a moment what Saul tried to cover, to please people, to have a good image in front of people, but it came a moment in his life that he fell flat before the Lord. And he said, God Almighty, search me, cleanse me, forgive me, wash me. And he came to this conclusion, I'm going to wait on you. I'm going to wait till you're going to stretch out your hand upon my life and you will lift me up, because without you, I'm not interested in this ministry. Without you, I'm not interested to be the next king. I need you. And because of all of those things and the character that he had, God says, I chose you, a man after my own heart. It's not because we're not going to do mistakes. It's not because we're not going to sin. It's not because we're not going to fall. It's not because we're not going to struggle with flesh and we're going to want the applause of people. It's not because we're going to lack of posting. It's not because of that. We will always do that. But let us run to the Lord in those moments when we're tempted. Maybe we should try that this morning. Unsubscribe to the things that you have subscribed on, because it will cost you. And come to the Lord and say, God, this morning I'm subscribing to you. I'm subscribing to a waiting season, whatever what you have for me. And I'm asking you to do this in my life. When I finished Summit as a student in 2012, I had a lot of ideas what I wanted to do in life. I wanted to travel. I wanted to be an evangelist. And I wanted to do all of the things that when people look, they're so great. And God took me through 7 years of brokenness, of breaking my pride, of waiting, cutting the grass, building a swimming pool for kids, starting a program, Sky Camp, doing all kinds of things that I was not inclined to do. I thought that it's below me, beneath me. But God did so much work in my heart. It was deep work. It was painful. When I was looking at my peers and they're elevated to all of those things that I desire to do. But it took about seven years when I received a phone call, come to the office. And usually when you get called to the office, you're like, what happened? And it was not an introduction. It was not like, I'm going to sell you a position. But it was, we've been watching you and we feel a witness from the Lord that God is calling you to pastor this church. Would you pray about and consider to walk in this calling? I never broke myself through a door to have this position. I never demanded. I never ran after it. But God has taught me so much during the 6-7 years to wait on His timing. And I came to a place where I said, God, whatever what I do, if I do it as unto you, my heart is free. And this is when He said, you're faithful in little. Come, I'm going to give you a little more now. If I'm going to mow the line should be straight. And our team here, they know that they're not particular about stuff. Why? Because we do things as unto the Lord. Everything that we do. Everything that we do. And the Lord's timing, it's perfect timing. I wasn't ready. I was not ready at all. But it took years for the Lord to work. And He still works. And every day He still works. He deals with my pride. He deals with my patience. He deals with things. And one of the things He continues to do it in my life, to know that I am always dependent upon Him. The crowds won't keep me. The applause won't keep me. The grace of God will. The grace of God will. Everything that we seek after, that we think is going to give us confidence and sustain us, in one moment can be taken away. But the Lord, if the Lord calls you, if you wait for His timing, you can go through storms like Apostle Paul. The ship can be wrecked, but all of them got to the shore because God had a plan. This morning, I would like to give an altar call, and it's very simple. Unsubscribe to the things that you're trying to do in your life that as a result might cost you, and subscribe to the Lord and wait on the Lord, and His hand will lift you up in His timing. Amen. During the song, please respond to this altar call.